What's up, New Numa fam? The time has finally come for me to step up my game on YouTube. So in January 2023, I will begin focusing most of my attention on building not one, but two YouTube channels. One will focus on just audio and the other on live videos. So do me a favor, take out your phone, go to your YouTube app, and subscribe to both channels now. Look for New Numa Godcast Live as well as New Numa Godcast Audio and subscribe right now because later is too late. Thanks, fam. Peace.
This is Ken, and you're listening to New Numa Godcast, the urban voice of Christian podcasts, kicking something new every week. Subscribe today.
Welcome to New Numa Godcast. Today I have in the studio Lori Livingston. She's a model, author, she's a owner and creator of T-Boy Chick clothing brand, and she's an actress. She's been in movies or shows such as Marvel's WandaVision, and she's also been on Grey's Anatomy. I just want to welcome you to the show, Lori.
Hey, how's everybody doing? What's going on? Thank you for having me.
I'm glad to have you on here finally because we had been talking about this a long time ago, and I'm just going to give people a little background on how you and I met. So I don't know exactly how it happened. I just know that somehow I saw you on Instagram, and I found out that you had been in a situation where you were almost human trafficked, and you had some things that happened to you that were really serious, and this all kind of surrounded your modeling career. And out of that, you know, I was like, wow, this is something that needs to be discussed. This is a, you know, something that's been happening with a lot of females specifically for a long time, and it's a subject that seems to be becoming more and more prominent because apparently this issue is becoming worse and worse. And I wanted to also say, I mean, that was like, I don't know if you know this or not, but that was like 4 years ago. I can't even believe it myself when I'm saying it, but it was 4 years ago when you and I first spoke. And we had talked about doing an interview and everything, and, you know, we did talk a little bit and got to know each other, and it's like, you know, things happen, life happens and whatnot, and so finally we were able to make this happen, and I'm really glad that I have you on the show. So, so like I always do, I mean, we're going to just get into your story, and we're going to just, you know, allow the audience to get to know who you are and to hear your story and then, you know, learn all that, you know, you're able to and want to let them know about you. So I want to first of all ask you, where are you from?
Well, I'm from Pennsylvania, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Most people are not familiar with that. It's literally the capital of Pennsylvania, but most people think Philly or Pittsburgh is, when in actuality it's Harrisburg. So I hope my audio is good. I have a brand new phone, so I'm hoping everything's coming across clear. But, yeah, I'm from PA, Pennsylvania.
Okay, so you're from right up the way from where I'm from. I'm from Baltimore, so that's only like an hour and change. Yeah.
That's right, an hour north, just above the Mason-Dixon line.
And I've been there several times, so I'm definitely familiar with Harrisburg. Now, when you grew up, what kind of a family life did you have growing up?
Just to be very real, because I think a lot of times people expect me to have this cookie cutter, you know, oh, she grew up in this fancy home with both parents, and actually it was quite the opposite. You know, I know my mom doesn't particularly like when I share this, but it's the truth. You know, I grew up, basically, we were poor. You know, we were very much in the hood. We were very much, you know, the quintessential single-parent mom. two kids, you know, just we grew up in like the worst part of town, of at least from my city. It was actually had a name. It was so bad, you know, it was just like the part where you just kind of didn't go to. And I grew up in that. That was my environment. And we were fortunate enough to get out of there. My mom basically put my brother and I into a boarding school, and our lives completely changed. So I like to tell people I'm kind of like the Will Smith, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, you know, for real, because my life went from like extreme hood to the stark opposite with, you know, wealth and opulence and success and just, you know, the ability to have a better life that I wouldn't have had if I stayed home, as well as the safety. So we were able to dodge a lot of bullets that a lot of my friends were kind of getting hit with, you know, like teenage pregnancy. A lot of my friends passed away, had been murdered, or, you know, just got arrested or whatever the case may be. So I grew up in that. I'm very, very familiar with that. And I'm grateful to my mom to this day for making that choice. I know it was a very hard decision, but it was a wise decision. She made it not from a place of selfishness, but definitely a place of wisdom for giving us a better life, to put us in this boarding school.
Yeah, that sounds like it. I mean, a lot of people can't even afford a boarding school. I know my mother couldn't have afforded that. So that right there is that was a big sacrifice, I'm sure.
And so, it got us out. Like, we had to live there. We literally lived at that school. Like, she gave up her right, you know, to basically put us in this school. It was tough at the time, but honestly, it proved to be the best decision ever made.
Wow. Yeah. So in all of this time, where was your father during this time?
I didn't know my dad growing up, so I wouldn't meet my dad until I literally was graduating from this boarding school. So I met him about 2 or 3 weeks prior to my graduation, my high school graduation. I was 18, and we met for the first time face-to-face. You know, he came up to the school to meet me, and I found out I had a brother and a sister, you know, met my grandmother and his sisters. Turns out we're like all triplets, quadruplets, because we all look exactly alike. So,
wow.
You know, it was interesting to meet a whole family, of course, that I didn't know anything about, you know, to meet them, and they all look just like me, you know. It was like, oh, wow, you know. So, yeah, and now, of course, we're all connected and everything. Both my mom and my dad and everything, we're all connected as family, whatever. But, yeah, I didn't know my dad until I turned 18.
So would you care to elaborate, like, why is it that it took that long for him to finally show up in your life?
To be very honest, my mom didn't know exactly who my father was. You know, it was like a kind of a toss-up between him and a different person, and she believed that, you know, my dad was some other person, and, of course, it proved to not be him. But in all realness, I had a man that stepped in, and I will always respect and salute this man for this, but a man stepped in and basically told my mother, you know, I will take care of your daughter. You know, I'll be there for her. And so me growing up, I always believed that this other person was my father, not because he was one of the two options of fathers, but because he chose to step in and say, let's just leave it at that. We're not going to ask the question. We're not going to take any tests. I'll stand up and do the job. And he did what, you know, a lot of people wouldn't do. You know, he took on the responsibility, period, no questions asked. You know, he was in the military. He was a military drill sergeant. So he was gone a lot, especially back at that time when I was growing up. So he was gone a lot. But he made his presence known in other ways. You know, he constantly called. Many times he was calling from, like, Korea, like South Korea, wherever he was stationed, you know, at the time, which is sometimes overseas. He would call and just kind of talk to me, just to talk to me. But the moment he touched down back in town, it was me and him constantly. So he gave me that father figure. So I never really had to go look for who my real dad was, because it was kind of provided for me. God provided for me other people to step in, you know. So a lot of times, especially, and I want to just kind of sidebar this, if you have children and you feel like, oh, they don't have this, they don't have that, don't stress about that too much. A lot of times God will provide for you someone else to step in and kind of fill in the role for your child, so that your child will still come out okay. And for me, it was definitely this gentleman that was friends with my mother growing up. He stepped in as dad. He was all I knew, as well as my grandfather. He was very, my mother's father, he was definitely a big, big factor. So I had, God covered me with other people. Until it was time to meet my dad.
Okay, yeah. So from what I'm hearing, it sounds like he and your mom didn't get married. They were just in each other's lives.
Yes.
Is that what I'm hearing? Okay.
Yeah.
So for your whole childhood, then, basically, you grew up with a single mother.
Yes.
Okay. And I heard you say you had a brother, right? That
yes,
your mom had also.
Mm-hmm.
Did he have the same father?
Well, my brother from my biological father, that's one brother, and then a brother with my mom, but he has a separate dad.
Okay, okay. But he's the one that you grew up with that went to the boarding school too, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
One with my mom, my brother with my mother, yes. So he and I both,
okay. Okay. All right, cool. So I'm going to, you didn't say it, but I'll ask. So when you were growing up, did you know anything about Christ, or were you just like in a, you know, in an environment where it wasn't about anything spiritual or whatever? It was just, you were just living life.
No, it was 100% about God. The man that stepped in to be my father, his mother is an evangelist.
Oh, okay.
And she taught me everything I know about growing up in Christ. And I would go to church with her for as long as I can remember. I was growing up going to church with her, and she was Pentecostal, you know, the true, deep Pentecostal church minister. And she was the type that she would start churches out because she was an evangelist. Basically, I believe she had an apostolic calling personally,
mm-hmm.
but back then, back in like the 70s, the late 70s, they didn't really call it apostolic. They called it evangelist.
Okay.
You know, they would say back then, like, I didn't start hearing the word apostle or bishop until more recent years. It just kind of exploded. Everybody's an apostle. Everybody's a bishop. But mm-hmm. back then, it was an evangelist. So I believe she had that apostolic calling. And she was a fireball for the Lord. Like, she did not play. She
mm-hmm.
did not play. As a matter of fact, to this day, her mantle has passed down onto me. And it's amazing because you would think that such a thing would happen to a person biologically. But it doesn't matter. If God places somebody in your life and he connects you for a purpose, whatever's on them is going to come down on you. And you don't have to. Not one trace of our blood is connected. But we have a bond. I feel stronger, closer to her and this man, her son, that stepped in to take care of me than I do with my own biological father. And I'm close with him, too. But, like, somehow there is a bond and a connection with his mother, who was an evangelist. Mother Mamie Wright, you know, she could preach. I mean, like, put this, when she opened her mouth and said, "Father, in the name of Jesus," whatever it was she was praying for, it was a done deal. It was a done deal. And I'm not saying it necessarily because of her prayers, but because her position, you know, her obedience, her love for the Lord, his love for her. I mean, God did not play around when it came to her. He did not play around. Did not play around when he came to her. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Still is. She's in her 80s now. And amazing to see life. Yeah, it's amazing to see life turn around now to where I'm praying and ministering to her. When it was, you know, growing up, my whole life, it was always her ministering to me, you know. And she even called it. She said, "My mantle has passed down to you."
Wow. So that's cool because, I mean, that sounds like what happened with Elijah and Elisha.
Yes.
So that's the same type of thing. That's amazing. I mean,
related.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what that really points to is more about relationship, not about if you're in the same family. Because I think that one of the things that, like, if you look in the Old Testament, you'll see a lot of things that are passed down through families. And it'll be like, if I was a goldsmith, my son is going to be a goldsmith, and then his son or whatever.
Right.
And things of that nature. If you were a Levite, all your family was Levites or whatever. But then there's a scripture in Amos where he said, I was not a prophet, nor was I think he said, I was not the son of a prophet. And basically what he was saying is, I didn't come from that kind of background, but God so chose to make me one. And so it's like there are things that God will, he will begin with a certain generation for his own purposes. He has a reason why he wants that in that generation. And so even if it didn't exist before, it'll come into existence because God said, okay, now it's time for this, and I want that person to do it. So, yeah, that definitely is a possibility of happening. So with that being said,
I'm sorry. Uh-huh. I was saying, it goes back to that scripture. It goes back to that scripture of, you know, what the enemy intended for evil, God will turn it around for good. Like my whole scenario, that whole situation was a bad scenario. This is a single parent mother, a teenage pregnant mother, you know, who just so, you know, she made some poor choices, had a child, but her life, the Lord was still faithful to her and to the child, which is ultimately me, because he had his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He had his plan, his purpose, and his plan and his purpose was for me to be under the umbrella of a woman that she just happened to have met through a guy that she was close with.
Yeah.
And look at how life just turned around. So I just, you know, just never, don't ever look down. I'm not saying you, but any listeners, don't ever look down on your life and your situation. You have no idea, no matter how good, how bad it is, should I say, you have no idea what God is doing. You have no idea what he's doing and how he can fix it and turn it around and cause it to work in your favor and especially for his will, for his purpose, because he has a plan. We're the ones that's just kind of in it. But he has a
plan. Yeah, I agree with that, definitely. So so with that growing up, I mean, like how were you as far as like in school and things of that nature, like what was it like for you in school being that you were coming from that type of a background?
I struggled in school. I wasn't like the smartest kid. I was smart, but like, I don't know. It was like a challenge in school for some reason. Like I could get it on my own, but in school I kind of struggled, which it was kind of hard to explain that. But, you know, I had my challenges. I had my career, not careers, but my courses that were, some were easier and of course some were harder. You know, so I definitely struggled a bit in school at times. I mean, growing up in a poverty setting, you know, my mother, she didn't really change her life around and give her life to the Lord right away. You know, so she was very much the young girl partying and living her life. And it wouldn't be until later, you know, much later in life where she would really just kind of, you know, get it. She always had a reference for the Lord. She always knew him, but she didn't serve him. And it wouldn't be until later in her life when she finally decided to surrender, you know, to him and really turn her life to him, you know, and change. And, you know, a lot of the things that we went through, it wasn't good. That, let's just be honest. It wasn't good growing up, you know, and the environment in the house itself, it wasn't good. And she's apologized to me and, you know, even repented and done those things. So I forgive her, but it's just amazing to see the complete shift and the turnaround that God has done in her life as well as, you know, in mine, and caused what was meant to be, like I just said, just a complete disaster and a nightmare, you know, to be something absolutely beautiful now.
That is amazing.
And just to watch God redeem it, to watch God redeem the time. You know, I didn't say this part, but my mother used to abuse me growing up. I was very abused as a child. You know, there was a lot going on there. And, you know, the Lord used her to just completely turn that around. And now she's just like the sweetest, you know, she's really nice to me. She's still very apologetic. And of course she doesn't owe me an apology. You know, I forgave her a long time ago, but you know, I let it go and just, she's repented and really turned her life. So it's like, it's amazing to see how God can take something that you would think is impossible to change and just make it the most beautiful thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, one of the things that I don't want to say it in a way where it's like to make it seem like God creates things, but I know that he will allow or rather he will take a situation that it was bad, that he will be able to use certain things out of that situation to form something in us that's going to be able to make us better for the future. We're going to be stronger. We're going to be more, we're going to be closer to him. We're going to learn things that we would not have learned, but it was something that God was able to work out in that situation. I mean, like the scripture says, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And that's the thing. When you're calling, when you have a calling, you know what? Matter of fact, I was just watching, I was watching this thing about life after, well, basically, I think Surviving Death, I think that's the name of it. And they were talking about, there was this guy that was talking, and he kept talking about how he was seeing certain things and whatnot. He was talking to people who had been through a death experience, and they came back to life. And he was talking about certain things that he was seeing in reference to those people. He didn't know any of these people, but he was talking about this stuff. And it turns out he's a medium. And as I was listening to him talking, I was like, wait a minute. The way he's talking, he sounds like a prophet that would be seeing something that God is showing him. And then he'll say, I see this, I see that, and God is going to do this, you know, whatever. But he wasn't talking about anything about God. And you could definitely hear the difference, but you could also see there was a gift that he had. And then it made me start to think about how the Bible says the gifts and callings are without repentance.
Yes, the gifts without repentance. That's right. That's right.
So I'm saying all that to say, you know, there are things that God had on you. He had in your life that he had purpose. He had destiny for you. And even though you were in a situation growing up that wasn't great, it wasn't the type of situation you would have asked for if you had your choice. Right. But he knew how to use that to form you into the woman that you are now.
Amen. Amen. And it makes you sensitive. It makes you have the heart of God for people. When you've been there, when you've suffered, when you've struggled, I say this carefully because I get it. Some people are going through some really devastating, harsh things, but don't learn to, especially if that's where God has you. I'm not saying God's purposely doing that to you, but if that's where he has you right now, learn to embrace the struggle. Learn to embrace the hard times. Learn to embrace the things that come in your life. Learn to understand and learn from it. Why? A lot of times it's coming in your life not so much to hurt you or to keep you like, oh, well, it's me. Why am I going through this? It's not for you. A lot of times it's for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you're learning lessons so you can teach and speak to somebody else. Have you ever spoken to somebody and you're like, how did they know this? You know, or like you'll be in a situation and they already got it figured out. You're like, how did you figure that out? They've been there. They understand. They have the wisdom and the understanding as well as expertise. I don't care how many college degrees people have. It doesn't beat experience.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't beat experience.
Yeah.
And to me, that's just as college educated as any college educated person. Why? Because you're learning from the school of life. God's teaching. Yeah. God's allowed you to see that. So don't rule out when you start going through trials and tribulations and circumstances. Don't rule that out as, oh, you know, God hates me and I'm going through. No, he's teaching you something, because everything that he has, he will use. Everything that you're going through, he's going to use, and he's going to use it to help somebody else. Now that I'm older, now that I'm who I am today, all that stuff that I went through is just effortlessly helping somebody today. And I'm thinking to myself, well, yeah, then blah, 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 you know, whatever it is I'm saying, hey, do this, or whatever, it's this, it's that. And people are looking at me like completely bad. And I'm like, I mean, like, that's just common sense. And they're like, no, it's not. You know, that's like, how did you know that? Like, where'd you get, you know? But I have to remember, this is God's purpose. He allowed me to go through those things that I went through so that I could be a blessing to somebody else's life. And wait, even further. So you'll be a blessing to somebody else. Why? Because the kingdom, the way the kingdom is set up, they're going to then teach somebody else what you taught them.
Mm-hmm.
That's kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how this works. So don't look at your problems. Don't look at your circumstances, your situations as, oh, look at my life and, oh, this is so bad. And God's trying to teach you something so you will teach somebody, so somebody will teach somebody else. That's how it works. That's how God operates in us, if you will allow him to use you.
Yeah. Wow. So, you know, I wanted to kind of revisit something that we had kind of touched on earlier. You were saying that you grew up basically being God conscious. I know that you said your mom did not submit to the Lord till later in life. So was that God conscious through the man who you said stepped in as a father to you, and through his mom that you were talking mm-hmm. about as the evangelist?
Mm-hmm. It was definitely her. It was definitely her mother.
So when did you actually, like, come to have a relationship with Christ yourself?
As far back as I can remember. I remember my earliest, and I know this is going to sound crazy. But my earliest encounter that I remember with God was, and I kid you not, I was about 2 years old. And it's possible mm-hmm. I could have been younger, but I remember being really young, and I remember just kind of feeling like I needed to go into the living room. I was in the kitchen area with my grandmother, and this is my youngest memory. This is like, well, I should say the oldest memory I have, but I don't remember anything prior to that, but like this is the oldest one that I can remember. And I was, I'd say about 2 years old, and I was in the kitchen being a kid with my grandmom and some other people. I remember some people in there, and I just felt like something was pulling me into the living room, not pulling me physically, but just like something was kind of calling me, you know, into the living room. So, and no one was in the living room. Everyone was in the kitchen. So I ran out to the living room, and I stood there, and I remember standing, and the way my grandmother's house was set up, it was the whole living room area, and then the steps would have been on my right-hand side going up, okay, going upstairs. So I remember standing there, and I remember this light kind of coming through one of the windows, and I remember hearing a voice speak. And, okay, I'm 2 years old, and I looked up the stairs because I thought someone was talking to me upstairs. So I'm looking. I remember looking for a person. I remember literally looking, where's this voice coming from? Because I can clearly hear this. But I couldn't see where they were. So I assumed, as a two-year-old, they were upstairs. So I'm looking upstairs. Mm-hmm. I remember that. And not seeing anybody. And no one was up there. Nobody. Mm-hmm. And then I heard God say, literally, you will remember this day the rest of your life. You will remember this. That moment. You will remember this the rest of your life. And that was it. I don't remember anything else. I know I walked back into the kitchen area after that. That's it. I can't tell you what I did when I went back in the kitchen. I don't know. I just knew God had that moment with me. I was 2 years old. God had that moment with me right there. You will remember this the rest of your life. Now, come on. That's not a conversation a two-year-old has.
Exactly. And I'm going to tell you something. Like, I don't think it sounds crazy because – I'm going to get ready to tell you something that you might think sounds crazier. I was 8 years old. I was 8 years old, and I was at a lake sitting on one of those floating chairs. And I decided to, you know, lean back in the chair. And, you know, when you lean back, you kind of got to lean forward. So as I was trying to go scoop back into the chair, and I leaned forward, the chair flipped, and I went straight down into the water. Mm. I did not know how to swim at that time. Mm. And where I was, the water was deep. I mean, it was at least 10 feet deep, if it wasn't deeper than that.
Wow.
And you're talking about a lake, which is, you know, not some see-through clear water. You know, at least the lakes I've seen, I've never been in a lake that was clear. So you couldn't see me. Once I went in the water, it wasn't no seeing me. And so I went down to the bottom of the lake, and you gotta imagine, like, I didn't even have time to, it wasn't like I was like, all right, I'm going to go down, you know, and then I'm going to take a big breath and go down. I just went down without even knowing I was going under.
Wow.
And I went down to the bottom of that lake. I was touching the floor of the lake, and I remember being down there looking around as if, you know, I'm waiting for something. And I remember feeling like I was at peace. I remember being at peace, and I remember not having any kind of anxiety or, like, I wasn't scared or anything. But I kid you not, it was as if I was breathing underwater. Because I was looking around, and I was looking up, and I saw that, you know, I was way under the water. And then the next thing I know, I don't know how long I was under there, but the next thing I know, my arm starts to go up. My one arm goes up, and then it was as if I was being pulled to the top of the lake, you know, like right at the where the water, top of the water is or whatever.
Yeah.
And my hand came out of the water. I was not swimming. I was not paddling. I wasn't doing nothing. My hand just went straight up out of the water. And next thing I know, somebody came along and they grabbed my arm and they pulled me out. And I remember not breathing hard. I wasn't like gasping for breath or anything like that. And the man was like, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm good." I was like, you know, it was like no big deal to me. You know what I'm saying? And that was, to me, that's the first miracle I remember in my life.
Wow.
And so I just know that I probably should have died that day, but the Lord protected me, and, you know, he got me out of that situation. And, I mean, the thing about it is the likelihood of somebody just having to happen, you know, to walk by and see my arm, sticking out of the water, that was, like, so unlikely, you know what I'm saying? And, I mean, I was, like, right by the pier. Fortunately, I was right by the pier when it happened. And so, you know, like I said, they're walking along on the pier. They see my hand, and they pick me up out of the water. And so, yeah. So I can imagine how your experience was based on the way my experience was. So, I definitely don't see that as being crazy.
Wow, that's an extraordinary story.
Yeah, so that was actually probably my first serious introduction to the Lord, even though I was growing up in a Christian home, but that was like probably my first encounter that I definitely remember with the Lord. And I had other encounters after that at a young age that really were amazing as well. So, so I definitely can relate to you. So with that being said, you were growing up knowing Christ and whatnot. Now, at what point did you decide, like, you know, what you wanted to do with your life? Like, did you have an idea that you wanted to go into modeling when you were younger?
I kind of always knew. It was really kind of placed in my lap. Again, God speaking, you know. And this is another thing. Like, I hear so many people, especially believers, and we got to stop doing this, y'all, as believers. We got to stop doing this. A lot of church people, when they hear Hollywood and they hear modeling and they hear all this, and, oh, that's the devil's playground. Oh, no, nope, 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 nope. Stop it. You have no idea where and what God is trying to do and who he is trying to do it through, and where, you have no idea. And if you write off all of Hollywood, and if you write off all of people that are in the industry, you are also writing off those who God put there to be a light how he chooses for them to be. And they're not going to do it your way. They're not going to say it the way you say it. They're not going to handle it the way you handle it. But best believe God has people in place there. And if you are not praying for them, they are fighting by themselves. And I know this firsthand. And I have to add that. I have to add that. But I knew early on that I was going to do something called modeling. And I didn't know what it was. I grew up in the streets. I grew up in the hood. So where I'm from, you know, people are getting shot at night. People are dying, you know, ODing. People, you know, people are getting pregnant. Like, that's the stuff that we saw. We had hood famous people around us, you know. Like, I didn't have TV role models necessarily. I had, you know, boo-boo up the street that could dribble, that could, you know, that could play ball. I had, you know, the person next door that was like the drug dealer, the local drug dealer everybody loved. You know, I'm like, that was the type of people I was surrounded by. Those were the type of people we were looking up to, you know. So for God to be putting on my life, in my heart, that I'm going to be this professional model, I was like, well, I don't know what that is, you know. And be real, like most of the women in my family were short, and somehow I ended up being lanky, which also goes back to this man that raised me and his mother. Both of them were tall. But most of the women, most of the people in my family were short. Short. 5'7", like if that, 5'6", 5'5", most of them are like 5'4", 5'5", 5'2", 5'3", somewhere in there. And then me, a whole 5'9", 5'10", it's like, whoa, wait, like, you know? And I matched the man who raised me and his mother. I looked identical to their side of the family, so it made sense because they both were like 5'11", 6 foot. My dad alone was like 6'1", 6'2". The man that raised me, he was 6'1", 6'2". This is, I'm not speaking of my biological just yet. And then going to my biological, he was short. He's like 5'7".
Wow.
How did I end up 5'? Thank you. So God had a plan already, and he was telling me, you're going to be a model. You're going to be an actor. You're going to be in TV. So I would see, like, back then my grandmother would watch, like, The Love Boat and all these TV shows. And back then, you know, people were glamorous, you know, like Hollywood was glamorous. The women were women. They dressed beautifully. It wasn't all this ultra seductive. I mean, they had their wild stuff too. I'm not saying they wasn't tripping too, but yeah, you know, everything was so glamorous. You know, the makeup and the hair, everything was just beautiful. It was just all about beauty and glamour, you know, so I was very drawn to that. And I didn't understand why, because there really was nothing else in my life that resembled the place that God was taking me. So I knew very early on. And growing up in a Pentecostal church with my grandma, we weren't allowed to get our nails painted. Like, we couldn't have fingernails, like fingernail polish on. We couldn't wear makeup. Like, this was back in the 70s when they were wearing the doilies.
Oh, yeah, I know about that.
You know what I'm talking about?
The little doilies, things, yeah.
Like, I don't even know if that's the proper name for them, but, you know, that little something on the top of their head.
Yeah, that's what they would. That's gotta be the name.
That's holy, sanctified church. You wore skirts down to your toes. You know?
And
my grandmother, it was my grandmother, evangelist, Mother Mamie Wright. It was her who said, she said, that girl's a model. She said it. And I knew that that was God saying it, because everything, because I'm like, well, how am I supposed to model? We ain't even allowed to show our legs. You know what I mean? Like, if you showed your toes, you was like, you know, you was pushing it, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Everything was closed. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, how am I supposed to be a model? Because half of these models ain't got no clothes on. Like, let's just be real. You know?
Yeah.
So it was interesting. But my grandmother, she really was one of the main ones drilling it, you know? And even my mom, even though my mom was very hard on me growing up, even she would, like, you know, she would stay on me about, don't wear a lot of makeup. You know, don't, like, I don't understand the dynamic of these women and the girls. And I'm not knocking nobody, but I don't understand it, how all these women have all this caked on makeup nowadays, because that is the extreme opposite of what you do as a model. Like, you are basically clean face. You don't wear makeup until they put makeup on you for the shoot, for the show, for the, you know, for whatever. Then you have a ton of makeup on. But other than that, your face has to be flawless, clean, you know. So I remember my mom being, like, real adamant about that, you know, like, no, don't wear makeup in high school. So I didn't wear makeup in high school, you know.
Wow.
She wouldn't let me get, like, piercings in my nose. You know, models don't have holes in their nose. She would say stuff like that. You know, models don't have earrings, you know, earring holes all the way up their ear, because that was, like, a big thing back then. You know, models don't have their lips pierced and all this craziness. Models don't have tattoos, you know. Like, my mom would really stay on me, whether she knew what she was. It was God the whole time, if you can really
see.
You know, God was using my elements, the people around me, to keep me prepared for where he was taking me in my career. Don't tell me God's not involved when it comes to Hollywood and modeling and all that. Don't tell me he doesn't have a plan for that. He does. It's us as people. It's us that get religious mindsets that start saying, you can't do that. Well, he ain't using, God ain't using that. Mm-mm, be careful. Be careful what you judge as godly or not godly. Be careful. Be careful. Because in many ways,
like,
a lot
that.
Of people are, I'm saying, I'm serious, yeah. In many ways, people are judging people who need your prayers. You know, even if you don't know a single person in Hollywood, pray. Just go to the Lord and say, you know, Lord, I pray for those who are in Hollywood that do believe in you. You have no idea how much help that's going to be. Do you understand the level of wickedness that is out here? And you have us that are believers in this environment trying our hardest to fight and navigate through this. But if y'all don't even believe that there are any believers out there, we're fighting an uphill battle. Now, we're praying. We're doing the best we can, but we really could use believers that understand God can put anybody anywhere. He can have a donkey speak a whole conversation. You don't think he can put somebody, a believer, in the worst of the worst place and make them effective?
So that brings up a good question right there. At what point, okay, so when you graduated from boarding school, which was high school for you at that time, what did you do next? Did you go into college, or what were you trying to pursue at that point?
I did go to college. So, of course, back then, having a career in TV at all was not a career. That was a hobby. It was considered a hobby. It was more like a extracurricular. That's for fun. Okay, you want to be a model. Okay, that's cute. You can do that on Saturdays. But what are you going to do Monday through Friday for your job? You know, so people didn't buy into that. So, of course, we were pushed. The school that I went to, they really pushed us to have careers, real careers. So, or at least some sort of job skill. So I was studying to be a nurse, and I went to college, Penn State, was up there for a while, and literally the moment I got there, I was discovered as a model.
Wow.
I was discovered.
So you said you were discovered, so what, you walked in the door and they were like, hey, we need to get you.
Basically, yeah. I was spotted somewhere. A gentleman, his name was Cortez Jackson, and he found me somewhere. I don't remember the details. I just remember he found me, and he invited me to this group meeting, and it was a bunch of women all trying to be models, you know, girls about my age, some a little older, some a little younger, and we all just kind of came together in this room, and I didn't know what I was doing, and he just kind of had us all walk, you know, do the whole thing, and from there, that was the actual start my career in terms of learning, as far as learning how to do makeup, how to walk, how to do shows. And I was doing shows left and right after that. It all started in college. It all literally started and just kind of expanded from college. So I left school to pursue my career as a model.
So how old were you when that happened?
I was 18.
Oh, so you basically didn't even go to school then?
I did some of it. I didn't finish it.
Okay.
I stuck around long enough, but I didn't finish it. I knew where I was going with my career. I knew it.
Okay. Now, so you went into modeling, and that was obviously your main focus at the time. So at this point in time, like, did you have kind of like a sense for what God was going to do in your life, or were you just kind of going with the flow, whatever was pretty much coming your way, you were just doing that?
Pretty much whatever was coming my way, I was doing it. I still didn't get it. Like right now, hindsight is 20/20. So, you know, I got it now. It's like I could see God just connecting all of the dots, you know, but at the time, of course, I was just living my life trying to make sense of everyday life. I really didn't realize what he was doing. You know, I just knew opportunities were coming and I'd take them. And, you know, just trying not to make poor choices as best as I could, trying to, you know, live and enjoy life as best as I could. But I had no idea what God was doing. I literally had no idea.
So when you were introduced to this world, I mean, what was it like as far as, like, because, you know, a lot of females, you know, well, there's females right now, specifically the ones that we call Instagram models. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they're doing all their, you know, someone's taking all these photos of them or whatever. But what, I don't know whether most of them are doing it in vain or what. I have no idea. But I know that for someone that was discovered like you were and then was kind of brought into that life, there are certain things that you start to be exposed to when you're in there and whatnot. So talk us through some of the kind of things that you started to see or experience or get exposed to when you were brought into that modeling type of environment.
Okay, I will say this. God is faithful. So if I had gone straight into that world when I was 18, you know, or even younger, I would have definitely made an entire mess of everything because I wouldn't have had the maturity, the wherewithal, you know, to do what I was supposed to do the right way. And I think that's kind of what is expected. They want you to be kind of young and dumb, for lack of a better term, so that you will make the poor choices, so that you will give into the lifestyle that really is out there. And it is a mess. I mean, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of times to even make it, to be a household name, of course, you have to sleep with the right person or, you know, this or those types of things. That stuff is very prevalent. It's very real. So depending on who you are and who is guiding your life is going to determine the choices that you're going to make. So a lot of women are very desperate, you know, to be successful, that they'll just go ahead and sleep with this person, or they'll just go ahead and, you know, give their body over to these people. And that was not something that I was doing. Again, God was covering me and protecting me. So by the time that I really kind of took off in my career, I was actually older. I was in my 20s. I was like in my mid-20s, and I was married. So again, God was constantly protecting me from the elements that were called the modeling, the fashion world. God was constantly protecting me. So a lot of times I would just go in, do the show, drive to the place like New York or whatever like that, do the show, and then I'd just come back home. Go down to D.C., go down to Baltimore, go down to, you know, all those spots, do the show, come back home. So I was there, but I was protected because I was, by the time I really kind of got going, I was married with a son. I had my son. So everything just really was kind of, God was just constantly putting in the things in place to protect me. But there's very much the drugs, you know, the alcohol. There's alcohol at every party. There's drugs at every party. There's, you know, or every party, every show. There's my parties too. There's a lot of people sleeping around. That's how a lot of people have become famous, is just because of that very thing. It's not because they're so talented or because they're so beautiful, but because of the things that they did that a lot of people don't know about. A lot of the choices that they made secretly that benefited them. I remember friends around me, now not me per se, no one really kind of came at me that way, per se, and God really protected me with that. But I remember a lot of my friends being invited to the elite of the elite parties, but they had to sleep with somebody in order to get in there. And if they chose not, which most of them chose not to, they never made it to superstardom.
Wow.
Never made it. I remember those stories. Oh, well, you can't come. Yeah, type of deal.
Wow. So now I hear you say you were married. So let's talk about that a little bit. So how did you meet your then husband?
I didn't know he was my husband. I was coming back from college, and like I said, I finished to go pursue my acting. I'm sorry, my modeling and stuff career. So I was home again. And just kind of putting the pieces of my life back together that way, because the plan was to be in college, but I had changed it to do what I was going to do in my career. And some things had happened up in Penn State too, but I just decided to go home. And when I did, I picked up a regular job for a while and was just trying to get my life back together when I met my to-be husband. He wasn't somebody that I was looking for, but he was kind of in a similar boat. He basically had dropped out of college in his case. I'm not sure exactly why, but he had dropped out of school. And everybody was kind of going back to school. And he and I were like the only ones that kind of stayed home. You know, we were still at home with the regular job trying to make our lives work, you know. And we became really good, really good friends. We started dating, everything, and we had a relationship. But again, I wasn't thinking he was my husband. Ultimately, we did get pregnant with my son. And as a result, his family was a very religious family. They had like titles in the church. So they were very disappointed, should I say, with the idea that he and I were both, you know, having a child out of wedlock. And they basically made us get married. They forced us to get married. Now, I didn't know this until some time later. I will find out, but it was like kind of like, it was forced. It was very, we had to do it. So that kind of put my life in a different trajectory. I thought everything was over that I wanted to do. I thought my career and everything was over, but it wasn't. And it was actually, like I said, something that the Lord used to protect me once I did have my career, because now I had a husband. You know, I wasn't just a regular girl trying to make it in his career. I was a wife, you know, so it protected me for the next level. By that point, I was about in my early 20s. So by then, in your early 20s, you're kind of done with your career. Most models are finished, but I was actually just getting started. And because I looked a lot younger, I was able to maintain and do my career. And even though I was older, I looked younger than I was. So I was able to just kind of have my career at an older age, but still look like I was younger.
Wow. So it's interesting how the marriage came and then your career took off. You know, one of the things that I would love to have you speak to something real quick, and I'm not saying that you're an expert on it or whatever, but I just want to bring up something that I've noticed. You and I are in the same age bracket, and I remember back when we were in our 20s or even in our late teens, and I remember a lot of females, they would say to me that they were working on themselves. And
thanks for listening to the New Numa Godcast once again. This is your host, Norm. Follow me at Norm the Professor on IG. I'm in agreement for power and breakthrough in your life. Keep tuning in every week for that real talk, new life.